Ce podcast métal est une présentation de la cordonnerie chez Jerry, le fabricant Melody Musicraft, la boutique Brouhaha, la chaîne YouTube Horreur FM et la brasserie artisanale à la dérive. Bon podcast! Cool.
We are live.
We are live. Hey, don't don't steal my line, because when we do a podcast in English, I like to do my UFC call. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It's time. Okay, sorry. I had to do it.
You should never replace him. Never.
No, I know. No. I'll keep my day job. That's all.
I thought it was great. Sounded fantastic.
Thanks. So, welcome, everybody. To a Metal Minded podcast, and today we're gonna do it in English. I'll try. I'm very tired today, so it's gonna be very hard for me to speak English, but it's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome, and it's gonna be live, so I'm gonna be stuck with whatever I say forever. Anyway,
exactly.
So let's start with the real questions. Actually, no, I'm skipping stuff already. God damn it. Okay, so tonight, Metal Minded, we have a special guest, Anna Pest. April, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you for having me on tonight. Very stoked to be here.
For sure.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Now, back to the real stuff. Let's start with the real question. Yolaine, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm going to open. I went and saw our buddies from La Dérive today. Obviously, I love those guys. I love what they put out. And I always have fun when I go see them. They were super fucking busy today. It was insane. Yep. I got there. There was a lineup. I had to wait to get inside just to grab beers, not even eat there, because it was packed. And I was super happy for them. And I went and grabbed the new edition of La Gros Bégon that I've drank before. But this is their new version. With the like cherry and grisette, so it should be super grisette. Griotte is the word I was looking for, and should be super interesting. It's gonna be a hard one to start with. It might be my only one tonight. I have an extra one in case, but this 10% beer,
that's a big one too, eh?
It's a big guy, you know.
Yeah, but you're a big boy.
I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah.
What do you drink? What are you drinking, April?
Oh, yeah, I'm going with Pabst Blue Ribbon, 5.9, and got myself a nice big glass of water in a Grumpy Cat glass.
Here you go.
There you go.
I heard the Grumpy Cat passed away. Is that true?
Yeah, he passed away. I think it was a year or two ago.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah? I wasn't sure if it was true or not. But
yeah, he passed away. There you
go. Rest in peace.
Yes. Rip Grumpy Cat.
Yep.
What do you drink at Smell?
Yeah, you're going to be proud of me. I'm drinking an IPA tonight.
Oh shit. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I wanted to make it, special tonight. I don't know. Emporium Bird number one.
Hey, I drank it this afternoon.
It's a oat cream IPA. There was oat and cream. So I figured I could pass the IPA.
It's a little IPA for you.
It's very IPA for me, actually. I know. It's fine. It's fine. I can handle it. I'm a big boy.
Here and there on IPAs?
Sorry, say that again?
You're not a huge fan of IPAs?
No, I'm more like a stout guy. Like a porter and stout. Yeah, you have a stout tonight.
We switched it today.
Yeah. I'm more of a wine drinker than beer.
Gotcha.
So I kind of like the sweet stout and sweet porters and stuff like that kind of reminds me of red wine. So that's kind of makes sense to me. That's why the IPA is very, very far in the beer spectrum for me. Let's put it.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. I always seem to go for like clear liquors when I am going to drink. And I guess parallel there, you know, I tend to enjoy light beers. So
why not? Obviously, there's a bunch of types types of beer around, and it's for every type of people that want to enjoy them, you know? So
there you go.
So anyways, hey, I don't know if everyone saw, but the sponsors were before this time. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Yes, I know. It was nice, eh?
It was nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, I say them live still, you know? Yep. It's just we'll pretend that it's not a recording.
Exactly.
Boy.
So now we already switched to our next segment, which is what we've been listening to this past week or this past month or whatever. And we can start with you, Simon, for this one.
Yeah.
What have you listened to this past week, buddy?
Actually, not a whole lot. Because I had some video editing this week to do.
That's weird.
Yeah, for something, an online festival that might happen maybe next Friday or something.
Never heard about that.
It's amazing. You guys are not ready. It's going to be amazing. The editing is like perfectly done.
The guy did it on point.
Yeah, the guy did it on point. Yeah, good guy. Oh, my God. But I did. Oh, my God. It's going to be a long one. I'm so tired. Sorry. I'd like to apologize just to start. At the start already. I usually apologize after like 45 minutes, but now we're 9 minutes in. Perfect. Actually, 7 because we started late. Anyways. Yes. Sorry. Very sorry. So I'm going to start I did discover a band that I didn't know of. A band called Crips. Is it Coven of the Dead or Coven of the Dead?
Yeah, it's Crypts with a C because there's Crypts with a K.
Oh, so it's Crypts with the C, yes.
Yeah, I listened to it. It's like average death metal. And honestly, I didn't like the recording.
I like that the snare drum had the St. Anger snare syndrome a little bit.
I love that.
You know what I mean? So the snare sounded a bit funky. I got over it after a while. But when it started, I'm like, sounds like a basketball. Like, thunk, 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 thunk. Anyways, but I kind of liked it. I listened to it like 3 times, I think. So I guess I liked it. I'm still that album, The Crown, Royal Destroyer. I still listen to it a lot. Very good album. Thanks to the Wednesday's reviews, I didn't know that album existed. So, and my good friend Julien actually sent me something else on Friday. I think is it Friday? Ultimate Power Corrupts.
Okay.
Tensions Escalate. So it's a crossover thrash, like I like it. Very fast. Very raw. Very thrashy. Wants you to go circle pitting and stuff, you know. So, there you go. So that's pretty much what I did. What I listened to this week, not too much. Cool. I was busy.
So, what have you been listening to, April?
Yeah, my roommate and I—we've been going through Deftones and Tool's discographies together this month, just for fun, revisiting all the records, and checking out like the associated projects as well.
Yes.
And I got super back into 13th Step from A Perfect Circle. That's just a really gorgeous rock album.
Yep.
Super good stuff.
Hey, if you enjoyed that album, I talked about it, I think it was 2 weeks back. Chevelle released a new album this year.
I heard about that.
And it sounds a ton like A Perfect Circle.
I am going to have to check it out then. I heard from a lot of friends who like weren't even like aware of Chevelle or like super into their stuff, were just super impressed by that record. So I'll have to check that out for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. I checked out the new release, first release actually, from this really, really awesome kind of tour de force all over the place mathcore band, Pupil Slicer.
Yes.
Yeah. They got a new record called Mirrors. Super cool stuff. A lot of good tracks on that.
Great, amazing, like mathcore, grindcore, all over the map.
Yeah. Just
super good stuff.
Super good stuff. Super cool. I'll also say there's this great record called Vivre Encore from Lorem Ipsum. They're from France. They're musically, they sound like a screamo band. But instrumentally, it's all like chamber music, sort of like a mix of like folk and Baroque instrumentation. They've got like, you know, the piano arpeggios, the fierce violin action, and some dude screaming over it. And it's pretty freaking cool.
Nice.
And just to name one more, there's this 17-year-old kid from Brazil who makes really incredible electronic music. It's like a pastiche of like glitched out, chopped up folk instrumentation and like video game samples.
Okay.
His name is Druida or Druida, I'm not sure. And the album is called Liquido, and it's really fucking cool.
Nice. You're talking about like a video game music and samples and stuff like that. Did you get around to listening to Cara Nair?
Oh my God. Okay. So I heard about that. I've heard like a couple of their records and I need to check that new one out. Cause isn't it like black metal meets like chiptune or something like that?
It's fucked up. It's a bunch of everything you want to listen to. It's like video game, 8-bit black metal. And what's really cool with the band is they actually released a video game with the album. Wow. It's on PC and it comes with its own soundtrack in contrast with the album also. So they released an album, a soundtrack, and a game. And if you buy the soundtrack, it comes with the free downloadable game after.
That is awesome.
I did download it. It's a pretty simple game, but you know what? It was fun. I enjoyed it. And support those guys. They're fucking cool. Their album, I think it was 2 years ago, came pretty close to my top 20. This one right now, if I were to do it today, is in my top 20 for sure.
Awesome. Very cool. I will definitely check that out.
So, obviously, I'm always the one that checks out way too much stuff. And you know what? This week, I've checked out a lot less stuff than usual. I've been really busy, and it's been really nice out. So, I've been spending a lot of time outside. I listened to a really good trash album this week, which is called, the band is called Spitbile. And the album is called Age of Harsh Realities. It's some really nasty, not well done trash, but it's well done at the same time, so it's done on purpose,
right.
So it sounds 80s all the way. It sounds
it's trash.
it's trash.
When it's too clean, it's not good.
Exactly.
It needs to be dirty and a bit sloppy.
It'd be something you really would love, Simone. So,
well, you said 80s and trash, though. Yes,
exactly. So indeed. It's called Spitbile, and what a name for a band, right? Spitbile.
Yep.
A really cool band I checked out was Concord. The album is called Dunkel Millennia, atmospheric melodic black metal. So it was really smooth listen. It was very just relaxing, all at the same time having some really great black metal elements infused in there. But it was really mostly for the atmospheric part that the album was really great.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
I know.
A year ago, wasn't listening to any black metal. Yep. Zero black metal.
And now I'm all over the place.
And now you're listening to what, atmospheric black metal? Wow. Yep. That's good. I like it.
Probably my best one this week is Hereditary. The album is called Disease. It's fucking amazing melodic death metal. Like the top tier type from beginning 2000s melodic death metal that you want to hear with that Swedish tone infused in there. It was just wall to wall perfect. Great album. And my last one this week is just a little EP that I enjoyed listening to. The new Distant, the album Dusk of Anguish. It's an EP and they're on Unique Leader Records. Great stuff. You know what? The Unique Leader, when they grab a deathcore band, you know it's not going to be a bad one. It's going to be good stuff. But it comes down to just being deathcore, right? But it was a good lesson. It was fun. And I recommend it to anyone that loves that style. So, hey, I didn't take 20 minutes to say everything I usually say.
That's good. I got to say, we were 15 minutes in and we did everything we need to do. Usually it takes like almost half an hour to do all the sponsors and stuff. And
yeah, the sponsors, what we just did, fixed a lot of stuff, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And you used to spend.
You used to spend like 5 minutes just doing sponsors because people like sponsors like us. You know, we have a bunch of sponsors.
Exactly. That's fine. Hey, by the way, just shout out to everybody on YouTube right now. A bunch of people are there. It's super fun to have you guys. Hope you enjoy the episode in English. If there's something you don't understand, you want us to repeat in French, let us know. April understands French also. So if you have a question you want me to ask in French, I can do it. She'll answer in English. So on to the first question of this podcast, obviously. So Anapest, how did it all start? The story behind the band, how long has it existed? Let us in on what Anapest means to you.
Sure. Okay. So I guess it started up in 2015, near the end of 2015. I was in a band at the time, a local Montreal kind of industrial tinged melodic death metal band called Mellophon.
Okay.
And at the time I was, I guess, kind of the main songwriter of the group. And I was just writing a lot of music, like more music than it made sense for us as a band to learn. And also in kind of like a lot of different styles that didn't really, we were always kind of a diverse band, and we would have a few like songs on each of our records that kind of stood out from the rest or whatever. But the stuff I was writing really kind of felt like its own thing. And I also felt bad about like forcing the other guys to just like, you know, learn all the parts for like every little thing I was coming up with and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I decided to start my own project, and that's how Anapest came about. And I guess it's been a little over 5 years since then. And my old band, we split up in 2018 on for amicable reasons and everything. Okay. And this is my only project now. And yeah, that's how things have turned out.
All right. Quick question. Where'd you pick up the name Anapest for the
Everyone
band?
Asks this, and it's kind of a silly story. But like, I was an English major in college, and I came across this this word one day. Anapest is all one word. It's A-N-A-P-A-E-S-T.
Okay.
And it's basically a form of rhythmic or metrical footing used in poetry. It's like a technical poetry writing term, basically. But I like heard this word and I rolled it around in my head and my mouth a few times, and I'm just like, holy shit, Anapest would be yep. such a cool name for a project, right? Because, you know, yep. like, I don't know, it's got like, you know, there's Anna, there's this girl's name, and then there's past, pestilence, dirtiness, you know. And I always kind of considered, with the music I write, like there's an aspect of melody, of elegance, maybe, you know, of and then there's the filthy aspect, and these two elements are always kind of operating in tandem. So I thought it was a pretty fitting name, and I decided to roll with it.
Yeah, and it just nice. Stuck.
Yeah, it just stuck. Yeah.
And it's a name that's really cool, because obviously first time I heard about you guys was at the beginning of January. And when this album came out, because I had never heard of Anapest before. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the name, I was like, God damn, that's it rolls on the tongue. You know, it's an easy name to remember. You want to recommend it to somebody, Anapest. It's just right there.
I guess so. Yeah, no, it worked out super well.
So it's funny, because in Anapest, you've done a range of styles, right? It varies every single time. So talk to us about the influences on the latest release, let's say. So what was pushing you or driving you in this release?
Right. Yeah. So I guess I kind of noticed over the course of all my past releases, even though they were all in kind of different styles and all, mm-hmm. That there's a set of like compositional habits that I had fallen into somehow, you know, like I was writing stuff in a lot of different styles, but like there was always like a verse and a chorus and a bridge and then breakdowns all over the place, you know, and I have certain flavors of melody that I prefer and that I like to use often. And I started to notice that. And I just wanted to do something really different that was just kind of challenging, basically challenging the way I've become accustomed to writing songs.
You know? So did it like push you towards listening to different types of music to figure out what you wanted to do with this album?
Not necessarily. I kind of like started listening to different kinds of music, partially spurned on by like, the new record, I imagine we'll get to this later in the conversation or whatever, but it's been largely inspired, lyrically at least, by the anime Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yep.
And after watching this anime, I was curious to find if any musical projects had ever like done anything Evangelion themed, and I stumbled across Discordance Axis, who yep. are this really incredible grindcore band that have gone on to be, I'd have to say, basically my favorite band right now and for quite some time. They're just really incredible. And through them, I started just finding more and more technical, nasty bands, you know, like all throughout the grindcore, mathcore worlds.
So for this album, you listened to more grindcore than you did before?
I absolutely listened to more grindcore than I did before, for sure.
So can you name drop a few more other than Discordant Axis? That yeah. you were like got really into for this album?
Yeah, sure. Let me just pull up my iTunes real quick because like that'll stress. Just, you know, Wormrot for sure. Do you guys yes. know Wormrot? Yeah.
Yes.
They're fucking awesome, especially their latest album, Voices. That's like,
I know. And it dates a while back, isn't it like 2016?
Is it 2016 now? Yeah, it is exactly 2016. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't wait for another one of their albums.
It's true. It's been a minute since they put something new out, huh? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, I love how, like, mostly it's just, like, batshit crazy piss and vinegar energy, but there's some really wonderful triumphant melodic moments in there, too. Nice. Which I really appreciate.
By the way, my wife is on the chat right now. And my daughter's watching the stream and she says that April looks really cool.
Oh, your daughter is so sweet. Oh my gosh.
So shout out. My daughter says you're really cool.
Damn, that's all I needed to hear tonight. My night is made. Amazing.
My daughter really, really loves female artists and aww. Females in metal in general. And she just loves to see what's happening in the scene and all the women working in the scene to do it. And obviously, I didn't even know my wife was making her watch it upstairs, but she is.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, thank you so much for tuning in.
is it Alice that had a choreography on some songs there or something?
Yeah.
That was her. It's her, right?
Yeah, she does choreographies, dancing on a bunch of bands like Unleash the Archers and
oh wow,
and Amarante and stuff like that. So she loves metal and music in general. So
that is so cool.
Yeah.
Wow, what a job.
Awesome. So anyways, back to what you were saying about grindcore bands you were discovering during the process of this album. So yeah, other than Wormrot.
Yeah, for sure. I guess moving into like screamo territory a little bit, because I moving on from like grindcore, I started to check out like related scenes, like the emo violence scene and stuff like that.
Yep.
I got really into Orchid for sure.
Okay.
They're like kind of screamo excellence from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
I've never heard of them.
Really? Okay. Yeah. They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. I guess they're definitely more on the hardcore spectrum than the metal spectrum. Okay. But if
I'm
you're
down
into
with that.
Orchid. If you're into like Alexis on Fire or whatever, yep. You'd definitely be into them. They're like kind of imagine Alexis on Fire, but even more primal and like raw.
Sounds good. I'll check that out for sure. It's noted.
Awesome. And from that same scene, actually, I would mention Page 99. They're another really great one.
Don't know them either.
It's all one word, just Page 99.
All right.
So yeah, those are a couple of big ones. There's definitely a lot of screamo that went into the album, at least melodically. I know a lot of people didn't pick that up as like an influence necessarily, but like,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't push through what mm-hmm. the product is. Mm-hmm. But now that you mention it, I can figure out a few parts maybe that I heard some of it. But honestly, it's not the punching point out of the album, right?
Right. I just kind of write music, right? It's like mm-hmm. it's not like I'm going to be like, oh, I want to sound like this band. Or like, I heard this band, I want to write a song that sounds exactly like them, right? I kind of like to pay attention to the things that they do compositionally okay. and maybe be like, I could try that sometime in one of my songs. Or like, you know, they have a certain turnaround, a certain whatever. And I'm like, I could try something like that, you know, just kind of in a broad sense. But the music I write, I just kind of sit down and hammer it out every time, just see what happens.
So obviously you're touching on a subject that I had written down. You've been mentioned as a ton of different styles mm-hmm. During the entire Anapest project. What style resonates most with you? What do you believe you are projecting as Anapest?
Nobody has ever asked me that, and that's a really interesting question. And I'm almost like scared to pigeonhole myself, you know? I kind of like don't really like being pinned down. I'll say like most people have heard deathcore in each of my records in some form to varying degrees. I've even heard people say that they hear deathcore in Forlorn, which was my kind of black metal record I put out in 2016. Yep. And I hear it listening to it. And I'm not like uncomfortable with the label of being a deathcore artist. I feel like labels exist to describe sounds that are out there in the world, and that's it. You know?
To help, for me, it's mostly to help size what you like. Right. So
mm-hmm.
I'm a deathcore fan. So mm-hmm. I go online, I write deathcore releases or what's coming out in deathcore. What do I want to listen to? And obviously I have my opinion on what I've heard from I went with your latest release. And if I could say anything about your latest release, I would say it was technical deathcore.
That's what a lot of people say, for sure. Yeah,
it sounded like tech death mm-hmm. mixed in with some deathcore breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So to me, it was technical deathcore all the way around. With a lot of experimental stuff. Obviously, you went with a guest on there that was very out there, and we'll talk about that later, and that was really cool. But I mean, I think the deathcore label fits you right, but like tech deathcore with some grind
is what
it is.
I'm totally cool with that assessment for the latest album specifically.
Latest album, like obviously I listened to a bit of the older stuff, but I was concentrating mostly on what was coming out this year, and I listened to it, and it's funny because we have two shows on Metal Minded. We have the podcast on Sundays and we do reviews on Wednesdays. And I obviously do my schedule a lot in advance, and my entire January month was booked. And then when your album came out at the beginning of the month, my entire schedule was fully booked, and I found your album and I was like, shit, I would have reviewed that shit.
Oh, you're so sweet, man.
And then and my buddy that does it with me, Ty, who's also Metal-Minded, I made him listen to it. He's like, fuck, we missed out on a good release we could have done this month, you know. And we try and keep to date, so that's why it didn't happen.
Totally understandable.
We were super happy to have you on the podcast. It's another way to promote the album, obviously. So
yeah.
Well, I'm really happy to be here in any capacity, so thank you.
Awesome. Yes. You were talking, I had the question why you decided to go to start something solo, a solo project, and you answered that question. But if I can follow up on that, I was just wondering what's easier to do when you're solo project, and what's harder to do, like in general?
Right. Yeah. For sure. I would say getting music recorded is much easier, for sure, because I just like do everything myself, and often I'll record as I write, right? It's kind of like,
okay.
I mean, for one thing, you know, the drums are all programmed, mm-hmm. and I program my bass as well. So already, you know, when I'm kind of just laying out both the melodic and rhythmic foundations of a piece, everything that I'm doing there is going to stick around until the end product, basically, you know, it's like, yep. I mean, I'm gonna mix that shit for mm-hmm. sure until I'm happy with it. But like the meaty tracks are gonna continue to exist, right? So mm-hmm. already there, that's a one up. And then it's like, you figure out the rest, you get the guitar keys, vocals in there, and I do all that shit, right? So that's simple. The difficult part is when you, I don't know, when you start thinking about playing live, for instance, mm-hmm. right? Or sometimes promotion is difficult because I'm just one person, you know, and it's not like I can be like, okay, I will take care of the composition and bass player, you take care of the promo, you know, mm-hmm. like there is no bass player. I am, you know,
you are everything.
Basically. Yeah. So that does make things difficult. And I'll say another thing that's difficult is putting out merch, right? Because I have to finance everything myself alone. Yep. And sometimes people ask me, they're like, why don't you have vinyls? Why don't you have shirts? And it is because I am very poor and I am one person, right?
I have something for you. Go check out one of our sponsors, okay? They're called Mélogie Musicraft. And really cool dude, Jean-Rémy, works amazing. He made metal-minded merch. What he does is he buys the merch up front and he gives you a percentage. He does everything himself and he gives you a percentage since it's your merch.
That's but really generous.
He wow. does everything for you.
Okay.
And so check him out. He makes albums. He makes all that stuff. So you can go check him out. I'll send you a link later. But the guy is really a professional. He works really well. He's super quick on what he does. And I think you'd have fun being like a one-person band. It'd be a great alternative to having to do all of that stuff yourself.
For sure. Thank you so much for mentioning that.
Yeah, and real quick, before you ask another question, Simon.
Yes.
Both of our good friends, Felix's online, both of them say that your music is fucking insane. And one of our buddies online that's always here says, Felix Valliat says he went and bought the album on Bandcamp because it's intense as fuck.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much, guys.
Or as you said in français, en tabarnak.
En tabarnak.
That's what he said.
Exactly. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
So you made fans because when we yep. did the promotion, everyone was going on our post and were like, holy fuck.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what's fun about Metal Minded in general is that all the fans of Metal Minded, like, they like to discover like new bands, new projects, new music all the time. You know, just on myself, I don't even follow on the Facebook group. There's so many bands that... There's so many new bands, so yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I pick one or two every week, and then okay, you know, I make them my own. But yeah, exactly, that's what it is. And then there's Yelling that posts like 30 million bands a day, which all of them I don't know. But anyways, another question I want, because I'm really curious, because you know we're actually Cruel Fate, we're in the writing process as well, and we usually do most of the writing is done with me and the guitar player, so I really like to know how the, you know, the other artists are doing their stuff. And I was wondering as a solo artist, how many hours you spend on a song usually? Like from start to finish.
Right. Oh God. It depends on the song for yeah. sure.
Okay.
You know, because like, I mean, sometimes, you know, first of all, some songs are more complicated arrangement wise, or they're longer. Right. Or some songs I'll realize halfway through writing it that like, wow, this is terrible, and rewrite half of it, you know?
So okay.
It really depends. But like, I want to say to get like a listenable demo down from the beginning with like vocals included, probably like 18 to 20 hours.
Wow.
Take.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what you were saying is when you write a song, you also already put it on MIDI. So you're already doing the song, all of it, one shot, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a very, you have to have a really, how can I say this, good work ethic to make it happen, you know?
Yeah, often when I'm like putting together a song for the first time, it's like something that I'll spend 2 to 3 days on.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Another thing I'd like to talk about, I didn't take note of it, but I saw you did a bunch of covers also before on I don't know if it's before, do you still do covers, or it was before you did the Anapest? Or?
I did like one cover more recently, like in the past year with a friend. Mm-hmm. But most of the covers, I actually put out one cover per week when I first started off the project.
Wow.
And that was before I put out my first EP.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. Actually, because I want to talk about one of them, because there's a mashup you did that's just...
I have a feeling I know the one.
Magnificent. And everyone on YouTube, I don't care what you think, it's two songs that I love. So both of them together, I just want to know how you came with the idea and, you know, how all of it happened. It's a mashup between Bleed from Meshuga and Temperature from Sean Paul. It's... Yeah. Perfect. We have to talk about this.
Sure thing.
Tell me about it. She's like, let
me take a sip. I'll tell you about it after.
So like, I mean, at the time I was just doing a lot of pop songs, and like, they were all songs that I myself legitimately thought were bangers. You know, there was nothing ironic about it. I was thinking about this song Temperature from Sean Paul, which I have a good bit of nostalgia around.
Yeah, me too.
And I maybe wasn't like super into it when I heard it when I was younger, but like I'd revisited it around that time, and I was just like starting to appreciate certain things about it a lot.
Yep.
And I got to thinking like, what would a metal cover of this sound like? Because it is kind of very minimalistic arrangement wise, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I figured the best way to like adapt it into a metal context was to play up its rhythmic aspects, right? So I was sitting there and I was just kind of like, I had the words like floating in my head, and I was just trying to churn up a cool rhythm to work into there, mm-hmm. as a bass line, you know, maybe some vicious like double bass work or something.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it was just the main riff from Bleed that kept coming into my mind. Just like, and I was imagining like the words syncing up with it. So I was really drunk with some friends at a band practice at the time. And I was like, hang on guys, I'm going to try something out. So I just went into the other room. I downloaded, like, I got myself the vocal file for like that Sean Paul song, and I got myself a shitty instrumental of Bleed, and I just spliced them together really quickly in GarageBand and pressed play, and everyone in the room lost their shit. And
wow,
I was just like, I need to make this actually happen. I need to make this actually happen. So that's where that came from.
That's fucking cool.
No, that's a great story, and it's a great cover.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Have you thought of any new covers to do, actually?
I definitely have. I'm not sure about name dropping any just yet, because I don't want to build up like false hopes or anything, right? But like, I definitely want to do covers again sometime soon, for sure.
So it's I find that doing covers online is really fun, because it keeps the hype around whatever project you're doing. And it's fun to mash up styles and do stuff that's very out there, out of the box, and just having fun with it, right? Mm-hmm. So it brings me to my next question, which is during all of these online times, right? So 2020, 2021, how would you say that a band tries to stay relevant? And what would keep you interested as a fan towards a band?
Right. So I've actually seen a couple like opinion videos on this topic, so that's like informing me a little bit. But like, like, honestly, this is also based on what I've seen. It's just that, like, live shows are not super a thing anymore right now, right? And we don't know when they will be again. And it seems that artists that are doing well right now have a strong personality tied to the band, you know? Often people tend to, like, fixate on one member of a band in particular who's, like, kind of, like, the charisma center of the band, right? And it's not always the front man, you know, maybe it's the mysterious one off to the side, but every band has one character.
Yep.
And people love characters, right?
And it's never the drummer.
Except maybe an Autopsy.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, because he's also the front man, right? But that's a rare case. Yeah. But yeah, no, people like characters. And I feel like a good thing to be in 2020, 2021 is, you know, a musical project that's full of characters, or, you know, solo projects are a great option because, you know, it's one person. You've got the charisma center and all of the music coming from the same place, right?
Yeah. So you like having someone that has, like, a lot of character and pushing their product through that character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I personally like, I guess, is maybe a little different. I just like people with something to say that's relevant to the world as it currently is. I find a lot of metal, and this is great, I'm not like dissing this or anything, a lot of metal is a little bit up its own ass. You know, people love to, like, write songs about, like, demons and, like, the flames that come from my hands will destroy this world and shit like that. And, like, I don't know, man, like, you know, 2021, we're all locked inside. I think all of us are craving something genuine. You know, I think we're craving each other. We're craving, like, love and connection. And I don't know. That's the sort of bottom line I look for a lot nowadays, you know?
So it also brings me to what's been keeping you entertained during these lockdown times?
What's been keeping me entertained?
Yeah, like, is it just like watching live streams, watching what in music has kept your attention?
What in music has kept my attention? I just like to kind of pay close attention to what's been coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, willingly expose myself to styles of music that I know nothing about.
Okay.
And just kind of, like, yeah.
What would be, like, an obscure style for you? Something that you have not really connected with and you'd like to connect with?
Okay. I guess, like, a couple of different styles I've been exploring lately. I'm slowly getting into dub techno. A little bit of dub reggae as well. I've been checking out lately. I've been curious about African folk music because there's so many different regional scenes all over the continent. And I realized recently this is a continent with, like, a wild amount of musical output that I know absolutely nothing about. And I would like to change that. So I've been slowly dipping into that as well.
That's really fun because it exposes you to such different styles to help you write whatever you want to write at that point.
Absolutely.
And to on YouTube, we have Ty that says towards your comment with the fireballs, he's like, it's not a really good thing to throw fireballs when you're stuck inside, you know, so just saying.
It's dangerous. It's a hazard. Yeah, to you and your neighbors, especially if you live in an apartment like I do, you know.
Ty.
Ty's one of our metal-minded partners. He's with us in this team. He does the reviews with me on Wednesdays.
Very cool. Very cool.
So it's funny because you really enjoy what you're doing as a solo artist, a one-woman band, like we could say. Do you ever think you're going to want to switch it up to having a full band at some point for this lineup? Or do you always want to keep it yourself?
I've thought about that a lot. and it's difficult to reconcile because parts of me want both, right? Like, I like the full creative freedom. I like being able to oversee a song from start to finish. Often I think of, you know, my songs as my precious babies while I'm still working on them, you know, like once they're out, they belong to the world, you know, they're there for everyone. But like, while I'm still working on them, I often get quite attached. So I like having the control there. Also, it would be cool to play live one day, and I would need a band to do that. How do I do both without being a greedy asshole is the question, you know? So, and I think about that a lot sometimes, and I guess I'm not completely sure.
So what's the biggest thing that you miss, though, having other members in a band? What's the one thing you're like, I miss that one part?
I miss jamming. I miss having...
I obviously knew this should be the answer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, to be honest with you, like, I'm quite an anxious person. I've dealt with stage fright, like really bad stage fright my whole life. People haven't always been the kindest or most welcoming to me in the metal scene. I have a lot of anxiety around live shows. So that's not something that was keeping me in a band, let's just say.
Your love for the music kept you in the band.
Exactly. And especially, I want to say, my love for my friends, because first and foremost, we were a group of friends and we're still friends. And I still see these people often. One of them is going to be my roommate in a couple months, most likely. So we're all still very close. We talk often. That was always what was most important to me, was the chemistry, all that.
So obviously you said you've had trouble in the scene, on the stage. You've had trouble with stuff in metal. So we're going to jump on that a little bit with this next question, which is a more sensitive question, obviously. So you've been vocal on social media about supporting the queer community, being part of the queer community. Do you feel that the scene has been discriminating you for it, or have you been more supported for it?
It depends from who, you know? Some people in the metal community are super fucking cool and super open-minded, and like, some people are not, you know? I wanna say definitely a large part of the metal community is quite politically conservative. And, you know, it's like, and it kind of makes sense, you know? There are those dudes who just want like every record they listen to sound like it's still 1995 or 1985, yep. Right? And a lot of those guys also want the world to look like it's still 1985 and 1995. And people like me and my friends don't exist or aren't seen, you know?
And yeah, I get that.
Don't like people like me making music and being visible. You know, no matter what you do, there's always going to be people who aren't fond of you or don't want you around. So like, that's fine. I can deal with that, you know?
Well, we're metal minded. That's what we're all about.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are awesome.
It comes from being open minded. So that's what we do. That's what we're all about. And that's why I wanted to hop on this question. You know, obviously I talked to you about it right before, if we could talk about it together. And if you had one thing to say about the entire experience, queer community, all of your lifestyle, and you wanted to everyone just, hey guys, we just want to have fun with you guys, what would you have to say to the metal community?
What would I have to say? I fucking love metal music. I love listening to metal music. I love playing metal music. That's all that ever mattered to me when I was meeting other metalheads. You know, it's just like, can we vibe? Can we hang out? Can we chill? Can we have a good time together? That is what metal means to me. You know, like, to me, metal is all about just like doing your thing.
Yeah.
And like not giving a fuck about what anyone else thinks. And that's just kind of what I aim to do. And
so, Cheers to that. Obviously, we're all about that. We support the scene. We love everyone in the scene. And whoever you are, we just want us. We want everyone in our scene to support each other. That's the whole point.
Like, yeah.
I've noticed I'm noticing the hardcore and the punk scene is a bit more open, I would say.
Absolutely.
Then I don't want to say that metal is not open, but so some, you know, like you said, you know, but I only listen to 80s music, by the way. I only like the style.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Okay, good.
Some amazing, don't get me wrong, amazing fucking music.
Oh, yeah.
Came out of the 80s. I discover new music every day that came out in the 80s that I've never heard. That is fucking amazing. And like, no shade there. Don't worry.
Cool.
Simon, read the latest comment.
Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah. There's good stuff there. Okay, where am I? Well, you know, there's Felix that said that you ask good question in English. That's good. Yelin says ask. I'm not good in English or in French, so that's fine. You don't need to mention it, guys. That's fine. I'm the funny one. That's okay. I can deal with that. Metal-minded equals EAP. Open-minded. Yes, indeed. RRFM. One of her sponsors is amen to that. Great attitude. And then we have a virtual cheer from Felix Trem. So
awesome. You missed cheers, the one, guys. So you're probably not on live chat. You're still on.
I'm top chat. God damn.
Yep. So on the live chat, obviously you also have the one comment, which is April. You're fucking inspiring. We definitely need more people like you. Thanks for being you.
Thank you so much, man. That really means a lot.
And in French, pas de honte à découvrir la musique, peu importe l'époque.
Yep. So I missed the two good comments.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, wow. This is amazing. It's live on YouTube, guys, forever. Yay.
So.
I'll go grab a beer then.
I wanted to touch on something really that always touches me a lot because I'm a vocalist. I sing and I've written poetry my entire life. And it's stuff that I really like to do. So I've seen on your Facebook page and on your social media that lyrics are very important to you. You've talked about them very often. It's a really interesting subject, everything you've talked about and how personal you are about everything you do. So which one song is most important to you and why?
Wow. Okay.
Know sometimes it gets to the touchy subjects and I'm like, yeah.
Oh, you're good. No worries. Are we talking about an album in specific or just like?
No, just any album, any song, name drop that stuff.
Okay. Let me look through the list of my.
Well, let's go with like a two topic subject. Let's go with your most personal one on the latest album. Mm-hmm. And then your most personal one before that one.
Sure thing. Okay. So I'm just going to glance at this quickly.
I can talk about my new beer. Why
you do? Yeah, you can
go
do that.
For it. Do it.
Yeah. I'll give you a little bit of time. It's called Wake Up. Sorry, it wasn't meant. It was nice. Eh?
It was perfect. It was
perfect. Without, I didn't even thought about it. But Stout au Café, coffee stout.
There you 6%. Go. You're back to your roots.
Yep. It's a collab. There's a lot of people there. Orange à Houblon, Wilter Coffee, and Bira Fanelli. So
I've never heard about that beer.
It's a coffee stout. It tastes like coffee and stout and makes me happy.
There you go.
Yeah.
This beer is very happy beer. It tastes like happy stuff.
I like the color.
What I can say about the Gros Bégon that I'm drinking is it's not rough. It's not thick. It's not super heavy either. Like I don't feel like I'm eating a meal while drinking it. It just feels like a light stout, and it's fucking 10%. So that's like a traitor beer. Like that's gonna come back later.
yeah, it's maybe tomorrow morning might not be as fun. Yeah, but you see, this one's 6%, so it's not too bad. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. And I come back to haunt you, ghost.
Yeah,
spirit.
Exactly. So let's get back to you, April.
Yeah, sure thing. Okay, I think I decided on a song, and maybe this is bad, but like I feel like, well, it's a song from the latest record, so it kind of answers both your questions.
There you go.
Probably of the Black Moon and the Red Earth, the big long one, the 11 and a half minute one, I'd say is just because it's got everything in there, you know? I kind of divide it lyrically into four parts. And it the four parts kind of follow, this is so nerdy, oh my God. So, first of all, like most of the songs on that record, it's it reflects on, in some form, the anime Neon Genesis Evangelion. Yep. And there's this big sequence in the film, which ends off the series, where the main character is basically like, I'm trying to say this without spoiling it too much, but there's he gets sucked into this like sort of spirit world type situation. Okay. And is forced to make a decision, basically. He can either choose for all of the souls on Earth to join together in this strange kind of limbo space where no one is either living or dead and nobody ever suffers. Or he can choose to return the world to its original state. And basically, this is like an apocalypse is going on right now, right? Okay. So the world as we know it is being completely destroyed. And if he chooses to return to the world, it's basically like going to be fucking wrecked. But anyone who wishes to return can return when they are ready and begin again, right? So this is quite a choice that he's being faced with. And it all starts with a black moon rising out of a hole in the earth. That's kind of the vision that starts this sequence off.
Okay.
And in the middle of this sequence, he's having like a really intense like existential crisis and saying really terrible things about himself. And he's asked three questions by another main character in the show, who is in the end some kind of a spirit who's like guiding him through this whole process. It's really complicated.
Animes usually get pretty complicated.
It gets pretty complicated. But yeah, this girl, she asks him three questions, and I switched up the order here. It's not the exact order that she asks them in the show. But the questions are, what is your hand for? What is your heart for? And why are you here?
Okay.
And something about this whole sequence just really was really, really powerful to me. Because like, what is your hand for? Your hand can be used to do anything, basically. You can destroy things with your hands. You can build things with your hands. You can care for people with your hands. You know, it's just like, these are all the things that you are capable of doing as a person. What is your heart for? Your heart is for feeling, you know, and your heart can bring you great joy or it can torture you. And this character was being tortured by his heart. And then why are you here? You know, the biggest question, the question
the
everyone
question.
Asks themselves. And his answer to that question is it okay for me to be here? You know,
nice.
And just this all meant so much to me the first time I saw it. So I chose to use each of those questions as inspiration for like how to title each passage of the lyrics in the song, right? So you got part one, Black Moon Rising. This is the start of the sequence, right?
Yep.
Part two, the heart. Part three, the hand. And then part four, the here and now, right? And the lyrics are mostly about me. They're not about the show. You know, I structured them based on inspiration from this moment in the show. But like part one is just like all the terrible self-loathing, all the suicidal thoughts just coming right at you all at once. It's like, fucking banish me from this planet. I want to die on some foreign moon that like never sees the light of the sun. Just get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Right. second part, it's dressed with a couple of visual metaphors from the movie. But I guess basically what it is just dealing with that pain and deciding what it is that you want, right? What do you want from this? And the first answer is, I want to fucking die. Wash it all away, cast me out, right? And the second part we start, in the third part, we start talking about the hanged, you know, like, what action do you take from here, right? And at the climax of that part, I sort of have a voice from another one of the characters in the show coming in, forcing this dude to wake up, forcing myself to wake up and just kind of realize that, like, things could be worse. You're here now, you're still alive, and, like, there are things that you can do to better your situation. So, like, tough love, wake the fuck up, baby, you know, like, smell the roses. And then part four, I guess that's kind of the most chill moment of the song. I guess that's the moment of reflection. And it all ends with the climax in the last, like, minute and a half of the song, where I say, I'm so tired of waiting. Oh, what I'd give to watch it crumble down to dust. So tired of living. And I would wash away this empty world, wash away this world from you, my love. But I will live to face another day. And that's just the end of realization. That's how it ends. And just the writing that song is just, it was an exercise in, I guess, like, self-therapy almost, to write that fucking song. And every once in a while, I find myself having to come back to it and read it just to, like, remind myself that I want to live to face another day, no matter what happens, because life is shitty sometimes, and it feels extra fucking shitty right now.
Well, you know what? Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was very emotional, and I'm very, very happy that you shared that with us.
Hey, thank you for asking. I never thought I would talk about this song even. This is all live. This is all thoughts from the head, you know?
Honestly, it's amazing how people don't realize sometimes how artists can put their entire heart in something. And then they go online and they don't care that they're taking a product from someone.
And you know, that's fine. You know, like, I don't think it's a listener's job to think about everything that went into a project necessarily, but it does hurt.
But it's so beautiful to hear somebody just pour their heart out, telling us what a song meant for them and how it inspired them, even just like you said, to fight another day and to get just that next step every single day, you know? So thank you so much for sharing that. That's fucking beautiful. And that you did it with Evangelion too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You did it through an anime. And let's go on a more upbeat side with this next question. And I'm not a big anime guy. I've watched a few. The only one I can say I really loved, and I was a kid back then, you know, and I watched one of my buddies, he was really into anime, and he's like, you know what, I know you don't like it, watch this. And I watched the four Kenshin OVAs
back in
the beginning 2000s, and it reached out to me. It was really fun. Let's say somebody's not into anime. How do you get into it the easiest way?
Okay, so, like, I'm so like picky about anime. And I get into anime through, like, the more psychological side of things, right? Like, I was really into, like, the Deep series, you know, with, like, beautiful cinematography and, like, deep characters and all that shit, right? So I'm not sure I would be the best person to ask for the easy route necessarily, but I can recommend a couple of really fucking fun ones that I've seen.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, sure. So Gurren Lagann is really, really great. And like what I like about that anime is, first of all, it's super goofy. The stakes of that anime just never stop rising until the end. It basically begins and it's like, there's a bunch of a village full of people living in a hole underground, right? And they think that's all there is. And they just dig tunnels all day. And eventually, inevitably, they discover that there's a surface world and it's being ruled by these like beast people who pilot giant robots, right?
Okay.
So they want to reclaim the surface. So they got to fight these giant robots with other giant robots naturally, right? And then they find out there's a king who's in charge of everything that lives like at the far side of the continent. So they got to take him down, right? It's this epic quest to bring him down. And then like somehow towards the end of the series, the conflict moves on to space and takes on like a galactic scale. So it just gets like increasingly, increasingly more wild. The characters are lovely. Every episode has something ridiculous or action-packed going on. And I want to say, like, it's pretty deep, you know? Like, once you get into, like, the machinations of the world and why things are the way they are, there's, like, it's saying something there.
Nice.
Yeah.
By the way, before you name another one, I just want to shout out that one of our sponsors, RR FM, says, thanks for sharing what you shared, April.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I'm just here to share. That's my job today. So
there you go. So what would be another anime you would recommend?
Okay. I'm gonna pull up my list because I do have a list.
Oh, by the way, we have another one of our people on YouTube. Eric Bouchard says he just bought the album on cassette last night because it was very intense and he wants to have it in his hands.
Ah, thank you so much. Yeah, that cassette release, a couple of friends of mine helped make that happen at the Jerry Anais, really cool little label starting up. Thank you so much for supporting. It means a lot to them and me. So,
if you could name maybe one or two more animes, that'd be
great. Yeah, for sure. I've got to call out FLCL, also known as Cooley Cooley.
Okay.
That one's really short. It's just 6 episodes. And it's really kind of wacky. It's about this kid and this chick he meets who plays bass, rides on a motorcycle, and has some plot to basically take over the world, I guess, without giving away too much. And she's decided that she can use this kid's forehead. This is so wild. She opens a portal in his forehead that summons robots from another dimension.
Okay.
And so yeah, it's just, again, super nutty, super absurd and weird. The humor is really good and like interesting and just very high octane. There's something wacky going on in every episode. The stakes increase super quickly. It also ends up in space.
Let's all go to space.
Let's all go to space. And one more. This is kind of maybe a classic choice. I got a poster up on my wall there, but Kill la Kill. It's really fucking awesome.
Nice.
It's like, I guess for people who are into that thing, it's got a lot of like half naked girls fighting monsters and stuff like that and using superpowers, but it's kind of like taking the piss out of the genre as a whole, and especially like the sort of trope of like scanty outfits or whatever. And like, there's a plot twist in the show where like, you know, like clothing is evil and half the clothes in the world have been like, had like threads of evil sewn into them so that they're like half possessed. So like, there's actually like a plot element in there, like encouraging, encouraging people to be naked. So it's really ridiculous and funny like that, and very high octane, full of awesome fight scenes.
That sounds awesome, actually.
It's really awesome. Yeah. Now, if you don't like anime, like watch Kill la Kill. It's a fucking blast. It's a lot like a Western cartoon in a lot of ways.
That's pretty cool. Probably two more questions for the night, and One of my questions, which I was really happy when I heard the album. Obviously, you have a few guests on the album. Oh, je pense qu'il est lagged out.
On l'a perdu.
Oh, there you go. You're back. Okay. Oh,
awesome. Sorry for disappearing there.
Yeah, you were lagged out there for a second. It's fine.
You just played a magic trick on us there. You were there, but you weren't there. But you were there.
So yeah, when I was listening to the album, obviously. I'm a big fan. I love your stuff. And then I saw you had some guests on there, and some of those guests I'm a big fan of, obviously, Ingested. When I saw that, I was like, well, so obviously, how did all the guests end up on the album? What went through, what was the process there?
Right. So, sorry, beer.
Fine.
So there's this really wonderful site that exists that apparently not a lot of people know about called Featured X. And it's where a lot of like artists can offer their services. Most of them are vocalists, but you got a couple drummers and bass players and guitarists there too. And they're all from like pretty well-known bands. I think you have to have like a certain pedigree to be like accepted onto the site and offer your services. Okay. And I had kind of always known of this site and kept it at the periphery of my vision because I'm like, if someone I really like ends up on that site, I might want to jump up on that, right? And Ingested are like, right now and as of like the past 2 years, my favorite death metal band. I love the chunky riffs. Yes, that Ingested. Yeah, no, I just love those chunky riffs. And especially I love Jason Evans's voice. And I saw them live at the start of 2020, right before lockdown hit. It was the last show I saw, and I got to meet him for 5 seconds, and he is the nicest man, just really cool guy. So as it turned out, he made an account on the site around the time that I was wrapping up recording for this thing. And I was just like, I need to get this guy, like right away, I need to get this guy. And that seemed like the song to have him on, and I sent him the song. He liked it. He agreed to do the gig and did an awesome job. And that's the whole story there. I found Duncan Bentley through the same site and fucking love his vocals. So I asked him as well, and he was super into it as well and was also like super generous and gave the song some shout outs, which was super sweet. And the last feature, was from my friend Dare on the song Skyward. She did the wonderful big melodic chorus there.
I mentioned it earlier in the podcast there, that one part that I was mentioning that was very different is that part.
Yeah, for people
that don't know.
Yeah, no, that part just kind of pops up out of nowhere. You know, you're listening to 10 minutes of brutal shit and then this chorus just pops out of nowhere. But like, I always kind of want to have one really fun, guilty pleasure, catchy pop song on like each record I put out. That's just kind of something I like to do, no matter how like dismal the rest of the package is. And that was the song I wanted to do that on. And her and I are friends. She's from New York. She briefly went out with someone who tried out for the band once.
Okay.
And happened to be in Montreal when we had a show, and I met her that night. She's a wonderful girl, and she's super talented and makes this really wacky, like cinematic electronic music with her wonderful voice on it. Nice. I did a little rap verse for her actually a year and a half ago, and in return she offered to sing a part on one of my songs. And I was like, yep, that's gotta be the one. So, and she did an incredible job and really took that thing to the next level. So.
Awesome. So we're gonna wrap this up with one last question.
Sure thing.
And it's gonna be, you know what? Let's say a pandemic ends tomorrow. You're allowed to have shows again. Mm. You can be on any lineup that you want. What are the three bands that you want Anna Pest to play with tomorrow?
Oh my God. The worst part is like, to give my most honest answer, I guess like none of these bands would fit together.
It's fine. It's fine. Give your best answer you could.
Okay. This is okay. So ingested for sure. I'm gonna get Jason to jump on and do his part with me, whatever, you know. Vulvodynia for the same reason.
There you go. One more band to complete that awesome lineup.
Drum roll.
I fucking love Liturgy.
Okay.
Really incredible black metal band, really inventive. Their front woman, super fucking awesome, intense, creative personality, someone I've been following for some time. Would be awesome to play a show with her. And I don't know if you know the band Black Dresses. They're a queer electronic duo. Super fucking cool.
I think you posted about them a while back.
I probably mentioned them at some point. Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
But like one of their members, they're broken up now, but one of their members has a grindcore project called Crisis Sigil, which is super fucking sick.
Okay.
So like, yeah, get her on there. And that's my full answer.
There you go. That'd be a great lineup. I'd be down with that. I'd go see
it would be a little mixed up, you know, a little different.
Honestly, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I want to see lineups that every single band does not fit together.
Yeah, that shit's great. Absolutely.
Honestly, I want to see a deathcore band open up for thrash, grindcore, death metal, and black metal.
You should have come to one of my old band's old shows because we would always end up on a bill like that. Just like the miscellaneous bill, you know?
But those are so great because you expose everybody to all those types of music and it feels good. You know, it feels like a community and everyone feels together in that same space. Doesn't matter what you like, just enjoy your time. And that's what everything needs to go back to once this shit ends.
I would agree.
Everyone needs to understand that the scene, we're all in it. Doesn't matter what type you're playing. Doesn't matter if you don't like it or not. Go enjoy a show and have fun together.
Exactly.
So we're going to wrap this up. We're going to have a few things to say. Obviously, first off, thank you, April, for coming on to the podcast. It was amazing. It was super fun. You shared with us some amazing stuff, really personal. And I think everyone in the chat can say that they really enjoyed it and they connected with you, obviously. Second thing we want to mention, obviously, guys, Metal Minded in your house next Friday. Invite everybody. This is a home stretch. We want to see how big we can get this up to. We've been working on this for so long. We want everyone to enjoy it. Have fun. Come check it out. It's a very varied lineup. It's super fun. We even have some comedy in there. You guys, for real, it's amazing. And spoiler alert, Simon finished everything today. We're all done. It's all set up. It's all ready to go. Friday, guys. It's Friday.
It's going to be Friday.
We want to have everyone in chat. We're going to be having fun online together, drinking a ton of beer. It's going to be amazing. Invite everyone. Next thing, obviously, we have the last contest right now on the Metal Minded page for the festival, which is the Cruel Fate package. So, me and Simon and Jean and all of the Cruel Fate crew are offering a t-shirt, album, cassette, and sticker. If you just share the contest, you go like the Cruel Fate page and you just rate which song you like most on the album. So you have until Thursday for that contest. On Wednesday, me and Ty are going to have fun with Maxime Paget of Thorium Magazine and Ars Media, reviewing Depths of Hatred, Evergrey, Exanimus, and Thrawn. So another varied week, very fun stuff. Obviously, come check it out. And on Sunday, we're going to have Obvert. Really cool story with that band. It's going to be super fun talking to them because they have a lot of stuff to say. Spoiler alert, he had to learn playing guitar the other way around because he had an accident. So he relearned everything to play that awesome tech death that he's offering in the new Obvert album. And spoiler alert, there's also Oli Pinard in the band. So that's pretty fucking cool. So, guys, super fun podcast. April, thank you once again. It was awesome. People in the chat have been saying thank you, April. It was a super discovery. Your music is awesome. Don't stop. Push your product. And we at Metal Minded enjoy what you do. So thank obviously, so don't leave the chat. Usually, if you have time, April, we invite people to come have a beer with us off live. So if some people want to come, enjoy, ask you questions, have a beer with us, we're there. So obviously, guys, send us a message if you want the Zoom link to come chill with us. And for the rest of you, have a good night. Cheers.
Good night.